Well, some of Australia's top climate scientists are offering to brief Liberal Party sceptics on the latest evidence on global warming. This is comes amid a push within government ranks to take another look at the science underpinning climate change. A group of Liberal MPs, mainly regional and rural MPs around WA, are trying to block plans from the Prime Minister to sign up to a new set of binding emission targets post-2020 at the upcoming UN conference in Paris. Before any more targets are agreed to, they want another review of the science. In a moment, we'll be joined by Professor Leslie Hughes, a member of the Wentworth Group of Concerned Scientists and one of the signatories to this letter of this group offering to brief these politicians. But first, we're joined by Perth Liberal MP Dennis Jensen. He says the science behind climate change is absolutely not settled. Dennis Jensen, good morning. Welcome to Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran.
Dennis Jensen, you're a scientist. You worked for the CSIRO as a physicist. Why don't you accept the science behind man-made climate change? Because most say unequivocally that the science is settled.
Fran, it's interesting. The issue of whether carbon dioxide itself is a greenhouse gas is well established, and carbon dioxide acting in isolation would increase global average temperatures by about 1.1 degrees for a doubling. The argument is all around the feedbacks, and quite frankly, the evidence there is not compelling at all. For instance, the models that assume positive feedback mechanisms have way overstated their predictions in terms of temperature increase, as opposed to their ability to hindcast or sort of basically replicate past global average temperatures that have been observed. So some of it's the issues of the feedbacks of cloud and its role and the amount of cloud that you have, those sorts of factors are where your uncertainties lie, and they significantly are.
I understand you have these uncertainties, but you need surely to take a step back and look at the fact that the IPCC, which is conducts the most comprehensive assessment of climate change research, it brings together over 800 lead authors from more than 80 countries, have reported not once but a number of times now on the science of climate change and found global warming exists. And your own government environment minister, Greg Hunt, says the government, quote, firmly and absolutely accepts that climate change is real and taking action to combat it is imperative. Why do you know better?
Fran, climate change has always existed. That, quite frankly, is a furphy that's put out. The question is, to what extent are humankind affecting the climate?
And all these scientists say it's to a very dangerous extent.
Yeah, Fran, and you know, when you talk about consensus, 98% of the models that have fed into the IPCC process have significantly overestimated the degree of warming that should have been observed this century, the 21st century. That has to tell you that there is too much assumption of warming in terms of the feedbacks. And quite frankly, the null hypothesis should be that the feedbacks are negative, because any electrical engineer would tell you that a positive feedback is highly unstable and runaway. I mean, you would have experienced positive feedback yourself with microphones where you get that feedback noise and you have to shift the microphone away completely to get away from that positive feedback. It's a highly unstable situation.
I understand your theory. All I'm saying is that many scientists have disregarded it. Can you just explain to the audience now what it is you are calling for then before the government decides and announces its post-2020 targets? What are you wanting to happen?
Well, what I've done, first of all, in terms of what was put to Federal Council, what you have is different committees and different individuals who are members of the party, senior members of the party, who put motions. Members of Parliament don't put those motions.
Sure.
I supported the motion. And basically what it's calling for is a more comprehensive evaluation of the science. The problem that you have with organisations such as the IPCC is that these organisations tend to get involved in what you know as institutionalised groupthink.
So, I understand that, but what is it that you want to happen now then? You want a comprehensive review of what?
of the science itself by people that are actually outside the system. I mean, for instance, you're talking about this group of climate scientists that have written this letter.
Mm-hmm.
When I look through this list, now, interestingly enough, I mean, the fact that they get the House of Parliament that I'm in wrong by referring to me as senator doesn't instill a lot of confidence. But apart from that, when I look through the list, there are only two people on the list that I would actually call climate scientists in terms of looking at the actual processes, the things that we've been talking about, carbon dioxide, its feedbacks and so on, and how that leads into temperature.
With respect, Dennis Jensen, aren't you sounding just a little bit arrogant here that you know better than all these learned scientists who spend their whole lives trying to examine this stuff?
Well, Fran, let's have a look at the list, for instance. You've got Ove Hof-Goldberg. He works on coral reefs. So therefore, the atmospheric processes are not his expertise. Mark Diesendorf, who's does environmental studies and has been quoted by the ABC as an expert on nuclear power. I remember having debates with him years ago on nuclear power. David Griggs, Professor of Sustainable Development. Leslie Hughes, who is...
a biology, professor of biology and an
correct.
Expert
and
on the impacts of climate change on species and ecosystems.
Yes, on the impacts. So the point is, what are we arguing? We're not arguing impacts and so on that... would result from climate change, however it happened. What we're arguing is the actual process, that feedback, and how significant it is in terms of human-caused climate change or global warming.
Okay, now we're almost out of time, but there's a lot of people who think this is just a cynical exercise on your part to slow down and try and divert the government from toughening up its post-2020 targets. I'm sure you're saying that's not what it's about. But this group of scientists, many of whom you don't actually credit as being climate scientists, they have offered to meet with you and give you a briefing on the science that exists so far, the published science on climate change. Will you meet them?
I'm quite happy to meet them. I've met, for instance, Ove Hof-Goldberg a few times in the past, Mark Diesendorf, same thing, David Karoly, same thing, Peter Newman I've met on a couple of occasions, Will Stefan I've met on a few occasions and discussed aspects, always happy to discuss it, and quite frankly to suggest that the only reason that I'm doing this is about 2020 targets. Post-2020 targets is nonsense. I mean, you merely have to go back to my first speech, which after all was nearly 11 years ago, to see that. And I'll quite frankly, at the time, what I was speaking against was Howard government policy.
Mm. I think it's fair to say you have been a critic of this for all that time. Dennis Jensen, thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you very much, Frank.
Dennis Jensen is a Liberal MP from Western Australia. It's 8:15 on Breakfast. Well, Professor Leslie Hughes is a member of the Climate Council and the Wentworth Group of Concerned Scientists and one of the 13 co-signatories of this open letter offering this briefing on the latest science underpinning global warming to Dennis Jensen and some of his colleagues. Professor Leslie Hughes, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Good morning, Frank.
So you just heard there, Dennis Jensen doesn't accept the scientific evidence behind human influence on climate change. He says issues like the feedbacks, for instance, and the temperatures aren't taken into account, and he says the IPCC is basically a group of scientists which is guilty of groupthink. Do you think there's any value in trying to change his mind?
Well, no, not really. I think he's wrong on all of those counts. What we are seeing now happening in the world is that the predictions of a couple of decades ago made by those climate models that he's so critical of are increasingly becoming observations. So just for example, we've now had 14 of the 15 warmest years on record occurring this century, and those are having enormous impacts on virtually every sector of society and the environment that you can imagine.
But critics would say, well, there's been these periods before that temperatures go up and down in cycles, and that if you look at it over many centuries, there is nothing that unusual. They're not saying that there is not climate change doesn't exist. They're just saying you can't prove that it's man-made.
Well, we can. I mean, we've understood the physics of the greenhouse effect since 1824. We've understood the relationship between burning fossil fuels and the Earth's temperature since 1896. And we've had an awful lot of science since then. So you mentioned some IPCC stats earlier. As you said, there were over 800 authors on the last IPCC report. They don't just review their own work. Just the part one of that report that was released on the climate science, the latest climate science in 2013, reviewed over 9,000 peer-reviewed studies. So, you know, basically the science has been reviewed. The rest of the world stopped debating this issue a long time ago, and it's about time we did too.
There are those, though, who say, look, the IPCC models have been flawed in the past and they've accepted that. Dennis Jensen's point was, he says, 98% of the models fed into the IPCC process have overestimated the impact of human impact on climate change.
Well, no, he's simply wrong. And, you know, we've offered to go and sit with him yet again and explain the basic climate science to him. Look, if I could use this analogy, it's a little bit like we're all on a bus accelerating downhill towards a cliff, and there's one person on the bus that says, well, we need to understand the physics of gravity before we put the brakes on the bus. That's what we're in. We're in a bus hurtling towards a precipice. The scientists and many other people around the world are trying to avoid us going over the cliff. It's about time we put the brakes on.
Dennis Jensen is not so impressed with the credentials of this group of 13 scientists who've written this letter and offered this briefing, including yours. He points out that you're a professor of biology, that you're not a climate expert. You may be an expert in the impacts of climate change, but you're not a climate scientist. Is that a fair point?
Well, I've been studying climate science and the impacts of it on species and ecosystems for the last 25 years. And the thing that motivates me is, for example, the most recent study that said that one in six species on the planet are at risk of increased risk of extinction by the end of this century if we keep going the way we are. But look, setting aside my own qualifications, the government has some of the best climate scientists in the world in its own employ. Some of the best people in the world are employed by CSIRO and the Bureau of Meteorology. And if Dennis Jensen doesn't want to listen to me, he should be listening to them.
Given the response we heard there from Dennis Jensen, the points he's making, do you think there is any value in having this meeting with Dennis Jensen and others?
Well, look, we're always willing to sit down and talk science to anybody that wants to listen. Most of us make a living actually doing that. That's what we do. We're climate communicators. If he would like us to organise a meeting, we will do so. I've previously been in meetings with Dennis Jensen at Parliament House briefing parliamentarians, and from most of the parliamentarians, they were very well received. So we're willing to do it. I'm just concerned that perhaps he's not willing to listen.
You're also concerned, I think, and the scientists have signed this letter, that this is just a delaying tactic, or if it's not a tactic, it will delay when urgent action is needed. Is that really what you're worried about here, that the debate in Australia could get diverted again?
Well, diversion of debate is always, on an important issue like this, is always dangerous. What we'd like to avoid is the situation that we had at the last climate summit in Lima last year, where Australia was awarded five Fossil of the Day awards that are awarded to the country that is the most unhelpful in negotiations, and was then awarded the grand award, the colossal fossil, at the end of the meeting. It received the same award the previous year in Warsaw. Australia is not very well regarded in these terms, and we would certainly hope that coming into Paris, there's been a change of attitude.
Well, just finally on Paris, the Paris meeting, the UN climate meeting, it is expected, we are expecting an announcement from the Australian government in the next couple of weeks on the post-2020 targets. It's been suggested the government's considering 24 to 28% by 2030 based on 2005 emission levels. In your view, is that enough? Is that ambitious enough to keep global, if the hope is to keep global warming below 2 degrees Celsius?
Well, according to the Climate Authority, no, that is not quite ambitious enough. Their recent report, the final version of which was released last week, suggested that Australia adopt a target of 30% below 2000 levels by 2025 and then a further 40 to 60% by 2030. Even so, those sorts of targets, which are comparable to those of other countries, still only give us a two-thirds chance of staying beneath that 2 degrees that 195 countries have signed up to. So once again, the government should listen to their own experts employed by the Climate Authority and use their guidance to set the targets.
Leslie Hughes, thank you very much for joining us.
Pleasure,
friend. Leslie Hughes is a distinguished professor of biology at Macquarie University and a member of the Climate Council and the Wentworth Group of Concerned Scientists, and a signatory to this letter along with 13 other climate scientists.